Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode. We have Seth and Alicia Williams joining us again. Hey, welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hi.
Thanks, AJ. Glad to be here.
So today we are going to be talking about something that's really fun in marriage, and it's dating. Oh. Don't get so excited, Seth.
Oh.
But dating is something to be excited about.
Yes.
Especially within marriage. And so oftentimes, like, people in the pursuit of relationship, they end up doing all of the dating and the romance and all of this stuff right up front in order to win the affection of their to-be spouse. But dating doesn't have to end. That pursuit doesn't have to end when you get married. And so why is it that couples should make date night a priority even after they're married?
Because you're committed for a lifelong journey together, and you want to grow this thing. You want the best kind of relationship, and you want it to last for a lifetime. And you're saying, when you make these vows, you really don't know what you're fully getting into, you know, but it's, you know, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. There are storms that come in a marriage, and you want to position yourself in a way that it's loving someone for a lifetime, learning how to grow, learning how to take this relationship and build it together, and little things of dating your spouse, doing things with her, fun things, doing special things, keeps that love light, as some people put it, just keeps it on for a lifetime. Doing little things says that I wasn't just doing this to get in bed with you. I wasn't just doing this for when I made a commitment, you know, I made it in covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God, and I want to be sowing into this relationship for the rest of our lives, and it means I'm going to be looking for ways to do special things for you. You know, I'm to treat my spouse like Christ, you know, with the church. You know, that's how I'm supposed to treat my wife, and to honor her, to love her. And it means doing special things at special times, date night, you know, those things. So into a healthy relationship. They help it in ways I don't fully understand, but I know it's beneficial.
Yeah, I think you have to steward it, and you have to go into marriage. I think you have to go into marriage with the right perception that you don't go in as a blazing fire and then automatically keep that fire. But marriage has the potential to grow and become a much bigger, much better fire than it was when you first got married. But it does take kindling it. It does take stewarding it. It does take attention. And I think many who have been married a long time would agree and would testify that the unity, the joy, the peace, the fun has increased because they have stewarded it and not taken it for granted and not let it die out.
Yeah. What you're saying is super important in that it isn't just the tool that's used to romance, to get to marriage, like you said, Seth, about I wasn't doing all of this just to make it to the bedroom with you. I was doing this because this is an opportunity that I get to show you that I love you. That I'm taking time out of whatever our busy schedule is so that we can just connect. Because so oftentimes it feels like marriage, it can feel like business or transactional because there's so much of just bills and groceries and house cleaning and whatever broke on the car and all of this stuff. But to be able to take a step back from that and just have the opportunity to dream together, to spend time together, and just get outside of, like you said, the normal rhythm of things, and to steward that really well is really important. What are some of the things that you can see or is kind of the product of not making that a priority with your spouse?
Yeah, well, you can slide into an attitude of apathy, disinterest, a lack of gratitude. If you don't continually...
Familiarity.
yeah, that familiarity can breed a sense of there's nothing exciting here anymore. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really worth exploring any further than
I'm not in love with you.
You're not longer worth my pursuit, mm-hmm. you know? So it's a hotbed for all kinds of dysfunctions, things that will eventually kill a relationship and may kill a family.
Yeah, I doubled that. I think you said it well. Just it revitalizes your marriage, you, kids, events, ministering together, you know, and in our capacity, we're around each other a lot. We're doing all these things. We're spent in a lot of ways. It takes being deliberate and intentional to carve time out to do that. And it's a vigilance, but you're fighting for the best, all the right reasons. You know, the world is against our marriages, period. Divorce is all over the place, period. You have to be vigilant. This is not, I mean, that's not to scare, put fear in people's hearts, but that's what a marriage takes, just like anything else, a job. It's that vigilance where this is worth my time, my efforts, my being deliberate, intentional to lead my family. I need to sow into my wife and have these times. And it has to be that high of a value in every man and every woman's relationship. And when it is, it's placed in the right place, and you have creativity and see the fruit of it, it's great.
Yeah, Seth, you mentioned something when Alicia was talking about you can end up in that place of familiarity where it's like, I don't love you anymore. And love isn't a feeling. Love is an action. You said that, and it reminded me of there's a song by John Mayer, which I don't necessarily recommend in terms of any kind of biblical direction or biblical guidance, but he has this song called Love is a Verb, and it's...
Does DC Talk.
There is that too. There's a far more biblical reference there.
I still sing it. Love. Love.
Love is a verb.
Yes.
Look, no way.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Derailed. That was great. Thank you for reminding me how much more spiritual you guys are.
Oh, quit it. Stop. Stop.
But it's this action of love. Love is not just a feeling. The feeling of love will come and go. It's a choice. It's an action that we choose to take within our marriage. But it really is about love is not just this feeling that we have, but it is a continual action towards our spouse in that I am making the choice to love you. There are times that I may not like you, but it's a choice for me to love you, and I get to show that to you. And I get to make you feel special in the pursuit of you and our relationship. And so what are some creative ways that couples can do this and just keep the spice alive? Because oftentimes I think people think about date night and it's like, oh, we got to go. And it's always about going out to eat or doing this grand thing. Like, what are a few things that people could do practically that are just creative different ways for them to show each other that they love each other, that they care about the other one, and that they are wanting to serve each other in that way?
Well, there was this great book back in the day that circulated through many Christian circles, and
I've kissed dating goodbye.
No, it wasn't that one. It was called The Five Love Languages. I did read that one too.
I thought you were talking about I Kissed Dating.
No, it wasn't I Kissed Dating Goodbye. It was called The Five Love Languages. And I would say make a study of your spouse. How do they feel loved? You know, are they a gift person? Then you've got your work cut out for you. You've got, you know, like, how fun though to make it this goal to constantly make sure that your spouse is feeling love in the way that they most easily feel love. Sometimes it's acts of service. You know, the five that were referenced in that book were the quality time, touch, acts of service, words of affirmation, or gifts. And I think, you know, Seth and I are both quality time, probably primarily, maybe also acts of service.
Probably all of them, babe.
Probably all of them are ways to show love. But I think make a study of your spouse and make sure that you are paying attention. I think saying, I love you at the end of the night you know, saying I love you throughout the day. There's this, speaking of songs, there's this Josh Groban song. Actually, I think it might have been originated by Michael Jackson. But but he's saying, you know, I have learned that love's not possession. And I have learned that love needs profession. And there is something to that. Even Michael Jackson understood love needs profession. You have to say it. You know, we're not of the mindset that you understand love, but you also communicate it, and it can take all different forms. It doesn't always have to be, hey, I love you, although it should be that. But anyway, that's just one thought.
Love's not aggression.
That's called She's Out of My Life, if you want to go back and listen to it. It's a great song. Sad, but great.
I won't sing it. It is sad.
Other practical ways.
Yeah, so I think that having date night, while that's good to be able to do that once a week, we're not in a rhythm where we can do that once a week. It's costly. Just going out to eat and hiring a babysitter right now would be, you know, close to $200 sometimes, you know. But I think what she's saying is, you know, like, get to know what your spouse likes. We put the kids down and we'll break out a snack or something. I like to buy things that she would enjoy. And these times, it can be every evening together, can be really a date night where you do some stuff together. It's special. Sometimes we'll talk. Sometimes we'll watch something. A lot of times we're discussing the day's events and how we move forward with ministry stuff. But create those pockets to where it's a date time together, where you do something thoughtful, creative, and spice it up in a way of, I got you this, and you know, a charcuterie board or something where you got, and then you just talk together. You've got, you know, spend time, do something out of the ordinary. And that, just being thoughtful, is a blessing. Getting things that she likes, renting something to watch her, well, online or something, and doing anything like that goes a long way.
Yeah.
And a pocket of an hour or two at the end of the day together. And let that be part of your date night. Date night in for you parents with kids like us. You know, it's a lot cheaper. It's, you know, thrifty.
It's low cost and it's low fuss, but I'm telling you what,
it
does go a long way. It makes
LaCroix.
I'm telling you, bubbly waters and a good conversation at 10:30, like, it goes a long way with me, you know, it really does.
Yeah, and those date nights in aren't just for you parents out there with kids, because even not long ago, Amy and I had one, and work and life for me personally right now has been very, very busy and crazy, and Amy and I actually take turns. Once a week, we pick a night each week, and we try and keep it the same night. And we take turns in terms of whose turn it is to plan the date night. And I admittedly, and my wife knows this, so this isn't a shock or a surprise to her, but there are times that I get super busy, and then I get to that night, and I'm like, shoot, I didn't end up taking – I was unprepared. But then – I think through what are the things that are going to mean a lot to her.
Yeah.
And one fun thing that we did not long ago was, I came home, super busy week, and I said, babe, I'm sorry, I didn't plan this well, but I need you to go in the bedroom, and I need you to stay there till I come get you. And in our living room, we have a couch that's a pullout bed. And all I did, I opened the pullout bed, I made the whole bed, I got these LED strip lights so that it, like, just created like this ambient light in the room, and I ordered pizza, and we just rented some movies. And because I know that for her, quality time and cuddling, like, touch, are two big things for her.
Yeah.
And those are, to be honest, not even on my radar. That's just, it's not really how I'm wired. So it was having to sit there and go, what is she going to really enjoy after how busy we've been and how much I've been working this week?
Yes.
And she came out, and it was great for her, because turned off the phone, set everything aside, and just laid in the bed. I said, welcome to Spa Day Selby, and we're gonna watch some movies and eat pizza and lay here in this comfy pull-out bed.
Start with a head massage.
Just hang out in a different space. We're still in our home, but we made the space that we were in yes. different and special.
Yeah. Yep. That's a great example, AJ.
So, well, rapid fire question here right at the end. What's one of your favorite cheap snacks or things to do together? Seth, you were talking about charcuterie. Alicia, you were talking about some bubbly water. What's maybe one or two other things that you're like, you know what? When he does this for me, man, that is awesome. And same for you, Seth.
Boy, we have very similar tastes. We love our potato chips.
A little too much.
We really need to fast from potato chips, I think, one of these days. Because some, Yeah, we love them a little too much.
What's your go-to?
Salt and vinegar, Cape Cod. Cape Cod. 40% reduced fat. Slam those things down. They're gone. One sitting.
I think we love our little favorite snacks, like our, well, he knows. He keeps me well stocked on my peanut butter M&Ms, which are my favorite candy in the whole world. But the... Yeah.
She's got a problem with addiction to peanut butter, M&M peanut butter.
But we like tea. Like in the wintertime, we'll sit down with a cup of tea. Like that's one of our favorites when in the cold weather. And if you got a fireplace, like use it. Oh, sit gosh, in front of the fire, you know, or light a candle. Like every little thing helps. Sometimes, you know, we both love music, so we'll put music on in the background.
Yeah.
That's not food necessarily, but it all goes together to create the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think she, pistachios.
Are oh, good. Yeah. Just, that's another one.
We do a lot of pistachios. Just as a little, you know, it's,
yeah.
It's funny. Just like, oh, that sounds boring.
No. And what,
yeah.
And it's not boring. Like it's not boring. It's just simple. And that's part of what I wanted for people to hear is that it doesn't have to be a complex thing. It can be as simple as getting some pistachios and salt and vinegar chips and some LaCroix and sitting down and talking, turning on a record, playing a couple of hands of cards.
Yeah.
Just spending time
we do
together.
Cards at times. Just
that's one of our favorite things, actually.
Yeah,
we do play golf. Cards.
Shout out to Tim Philbeck.
Specifically, golf.
So awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing this with everybody out there.
Thanks,
our pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International, and it is produced by AJ Selby and Seth Stradling.